When pediatric cochlear implant surgeon Dana Susskind noticed something puzzling about her patients, it changed the trajectory of her career. Despite receiving the same technological miracle, a device enabling deaf children to hear, some thrived while others languished. The difference wasn't in the surgery or the technology, but in something far more fundamental: the words these children heard after they could hear. This revelation led Susskind to a startling conclusion that would reshape her understanding of human potential. Parent talk is quite possibly the most valuable resource in our world, capable of building brains to their optimum potential, or, in its absence, leaving lifelong limitations that no later intervention can fully overcome. Her journey from operating room to groundbreaking research initiative reveals how the seemingly simple act of talking to our children shapes not just their vocabulary, but their very capacity to learn, think, and succeed in life. In 1982, child psychologists Betty Hart and Todd Risley were puzzled. Their innovative vocabulary program for disadvantaged preschoolers showed initial success, but by kindergarten, the positive effects had vanished. Rather than accepting conventional wisdom that genetics determined outcomes, these self-described romantics embarked on a revolutionary study to understand why. What they discovered would transform our understanding of child development. Following 42 families across socioeconomic strata for 3 years, they meticulously recorded everything done by the children, to them, and around them during monthly, hour-long observations. The team's commitment was extraordinary. No one took a single vacation day during the study. After 3 years of observation and another 3 years, 20,000 work hours of analysis, they uncovered a startling disparity. Children from professional families heard approximately 45 million words by age 3, compared to children from welfare families who heard just 13 million, a 32 million word gap. This directly affected vocabulary development, 1,116 words versus 525, and, critically, IQ at age 3. Follow-up studies confirmed that early language exposure through age 3 predicted school test scores at ages 9 and 10. The quality of language mattered as much as quantity. In homes with more words, Hart and Risley found greater richness, complexity, and diversity of language, along with more affirmative feedback. Children from professional families heard approximately 166,000 affirmations versus 26,000 prohibitions annually, while welfare children heard the inverse, 26,000 affirmations versus 57,000 prohibitions, creating what educators call a devastating belief gap. The language disparity occurred in gradual steps across socioeconomic levels, with even middle-income families hearing 20 million fewer words than professional families. Perhaps most importantly, Anne Fernald's subsequent research revealed that the 30 million word gap affects brain development itself, specifically language processing speed, how quickly children recognize familiar words. Children with poor early language environments develop slower processing speeds, meaning that when they must work hard to recognize one word, they miss what follows, making learning exceedingly difficult. Hart and Risley had uncovered something profound. The early language environment shapes not just vocabulary, but the very architecture of the developing brain, with consequences that persist throughout life. Unlike fully functioning organs like the heart or lungs, a newborn's brain remains unfinished at birth. Its development depends almost entirely on early experiences that rapidly shape neural circuitry, determining lifelong potential. From birth through age 3, the brain creates an astonishing 700 to 1,000 neural connections every second, forming complex networks affecting memory, emotion, behavior, motor skills, and language. This period represents extraordinary neuroplasticity, the brain's flexibility to change in response to environment, creating both tremendous opportunity and vulnerability. Eventually, through synaptic pruning, the brain trims away weaker or less used connections while strengthening frequently used pathways. As this window narrows, learning new skills becomes increasingly difficult. The visual system demonstrates this critical period principle perfectly. babies born with cataracts show that surgeries before age 8 restore vision completely, while later interventions leave permanent visual impairments despite anatomically normal eyes. Torsten Wiesel and David Hubel's Nobel Prize-winning research revolutionized our understanding of brain plasticity, showing that sensory input during critical periods is essential for normal neural function. Brain development occurs hierarchically, with basic abilities forming the foundation for more complex ones. Missing the window for a simple skill has wide-ranging implications because new learning becomes increasingly difficult. Language acquisition during the first 3 years is especially critical, as it builds not just vocabulary, but also social, emotional, and cognitive development. This explains why learning to read is a Herculean task for deaf children. While hearing children connect written letters to familiar sounds and meanings, deaf children must learn words without ever having heard them, like trying to learn Chinese characters without knowing Chinese. This is why third grade becomes a pivotal turning point where deaf children often experience the Matthew effect, the educationally rich get richer while the poor get poorer. Before understanding a single word, our infant brains actively parse sounds and splice them together to create meaningful language. This process may begin in utero, as babies' remarkable neural systems transform streams of sound into words with meaning. Infants' highly plastic brains can distinguish sounds from every language worldwide, making them true citizens of the world. But this universal linguistic ability begins diminishing by the end of the first year, as the brain statistically analyzes sound patterns it hears, computing their frequency and retaining predominant sounds as prototypes. Though brain plasticity decreases with age, recent research offers hope. Takao Hench's groundbreaking work suggests the brain doesn't actually lose plasticity. Evolution created molecular breaks that prevent constant rewiring. His studies showed these breaks might be reversible, potentially restoring abilities thought lost in childhood. Intelligence isn't just genetic destiny. It's shaped by early experiences. When parents coo, "Who's a cutie pie?" they're not just being sweet. They're helping form their child's connectome, the vast neural network that determines who we are. Life experiences, especially from birth through age 3, profoundly change your connectome and thus who you become. Parent language influences not just vocabulary, but also mathematical ability, spatial reasoning, literacy, behavior regulation, stress response, perseverance, and even moral development by determining which neural connections strengthen and which are pruned away. Take mathematics, for instance. While Piaget believed young children were mathematical blank slates, incapable of abstract thinking, research now shows babies are born with an innate number sense. Even two-day-old newborns can match syllable counts to visual representations. This innate approximate number system allows us to estimate quantities without words, but advancing to higher mathematics requires language. Susan Levine's Language Development Project found enormous variations in math talk among parents. During 5 90-minute home visits, some children heard just 4 math-oriented words, while others heard over 250. Extrapolated to a year, this meant some children heard 1,500 math words, while others heard nearly 100,000. When tested at age 4, children exposed to more math talk were significantly better at matching number words to quantities. Spatial ability, understanding physical relationships between objects, is another math-related skill influenced by early language. Children who heard more spatial words used more spatial words themselves and later performed better on spatial tests, measuring mental rotation, block design copying, and spatial analogies. Early math talk often bypasses girls, with studies showing daughters under 2 receiving half the math talk and 1/3 the cardinal number talk compared to sons. Gender stereotyping profoundly impacts girls' math achievement, with girls as young as 7 self-stereotyping as inferior in math, despite evidence to the contrary. Stanford psychologist Carol Dweck revolutionized education with her growth mindset concept, arguing that praising innate abilities, "you're good at math," creates a fixed mindset where children give up when challenged. When students learn that intelligence develops through effort, gender differences nearly disappear. Research by professors Susan Levine, Susan Goldenmeadow, and Carol Dweck revealed that parents establish a praise style by the time children reach 14 months. Children who received process-based praise for effort and diligence in their first 3 years were much more likely to develop growth mindsets by ages 7 to 8, which predicted higher math and reading achievement in elementary school. Nobel Prize-winning economist James Heckman's research identifies self-regulation and executive function as crucial determinants of academic success. Without these character or soft skills, even intelligence and grit cannot lead to achievement. These capabilities, centered in the prefrontal cortex, aren't innate gifts, but develop through childhood in response to environment, making early home conditions critically important to future success. The 30 Million Words Initiative bridges the gap between scientific theory and practical application through the three T's: tune in, talk more, and take turns. This framework translates complex neuroscience into an accessible program that enhances parent-child interaction while integrating naturally into daily life. Tune in is the most nuanced of the three T's, requiring parents to consciously notice what captures their child's attention and engage with them about it. Rather than imposing activities, like reading a book when a child is focused on blocks, tuning in means following the child's lead. This approach enhances brain development because children learn better when engaged in activities they find interesting. Tuning in involves getting on the child's physical level, minimizing digital distractions, and using child-directed speech with its melodic pitch and simplified vocabulary to entice attention. Studies show babies who hear more child-directed speech develop larger vocabularies by age 2. Parental responsiveness, the essence of tuning in, follows a 3-step process: observation, interpretation, and action, always delivered with warmth and love. Before developing words, babies communicate through cries, coos, gurgles, facial expressions, and body movements. These aren't just random behaviors, but clever strategies to get parental attention. Parents must become fluent in this pre-verbal language through observation and trial and error, establishing the foundation for the parent-child relationship essential to optimal brain development. Talk more goes beyond quantity to encompass quality and delivery of words. Like filling a piggy bank with valuable coins instead of pennies, using diverse vocabulary enriches a child's brain. The distinction between talking with versus to a child is crucial. Talking with requires mutual engagement. Narration, describing what you're doing, and parallel talk, commenting on what the child is doing, are powerful techniques that connect words to actions and objects while building vocabulary. Pronouns like it are abstract concepts that young children struggle to understand. Parents should use specific labels instead of pronouns to build vocabulary and comprehension. For example, saying, "I love your drawing," rather than "I love it," provides clarity and introduces concrete words. As children mature, they progress from using contextualized language, referring to visible objects or actions, to decontextualized language, discussing things not currently present. This advancement, typically occurring between ages 3 and 5, represents significant intellectual development. Parents can foster this skill by discussing past shared experiences or absent people, preparing children for academic learning, which heavily features decontextualized language. Take turns, the final and most valuable T for brain development, involves engaging children in conversational exchanges. This serve-and-return interaction requires parents to first tune in to what interests the child, talk more about it, and then, crucially, wait for the child's response. Open-ended how and why questions are far more effective than limiting what questions or yes or no questions, as they encourage children to respond with a wider range of words and ideas, ultimately building problem-solving skills. The three T's extend beyond vocabulary building to enhance math concepts, literacy, self-regulation, executive function, critical thinking, emotional insight, creativity, and persistence. Reading with children from birth builds literacy skills and book appreciation long before they can read independently. Research shows early reading exposure correlates with larger vocabularies, better math skills at kindergarten entry, and greater reading success. Book sharing through the three T's transforms traditional reading. Parents tune in by following the child's interests rather than rigidly reading from start to finish. They talk more by elaborating on story elements and introducing rich vocabulary. Taking turns happens through open-ended questions about events and feelings. This approach makes reading interactive and meaningful, encouraging imagination and deeper thinking. Print awareness is essential for learning to read. When parents point to words while reading, children begin connecting spoken words with specific lines on the page. This teaches language-specific reading procedures, left to right in English, and shows how individual words are separated by spaces. Research confirms that children whose parents point to text while reading develop higher reading, spelling, and comprehension skills. Storytelling provides many of the same vocabulary and pre-literacy benefits as book reading. Using the three T's, parents can encourage participation through shared experiences and open-ended questions. As children grow, they can take more active roles in storytelling, which helps them process emotions and develop self-regulation. The TMW Math Module helps parents build children's early math foundation through conversation. Numbers surround us daily, on envelopes, inside shoes, on remote controls. Parents can build number awareness by counting a baby's toes during diaper changes or food items on plates. For young children, geometry is fun, building block towers, working puzzles, or tossing beanbags. Using the three T's to discuss shapes and their relationships builds fundamental math skills. Measurement is fundamental to daily life: cooking, cleaning, building, determining parking time, or serving food. Language paired with concrete experiences introduces children to measurement concepts through simple observations about speed, height, weight, and length. Children naturally collect and analyze data to understand their world. This happens when babies taste new foods and make faces, when toddlers choose between different sized cookies, or when preschoolers separate gummy fruits by color. What truly matters for children is developing persistence in the face of challenges. Process-based praise, focusing on effort, "you worked hard on that puzzle," produces more resilient children than person-based praise, "you're so smart." Children who receive more process-based praise develop persistence that helps them succeed in school and life. Intelligence alone isn't enough for school success. Children also need executive function and self-regulation to sit still, follow directions, and control emotions. Children learn self-regulation best by modeling the adults in their lives. When parents encounter frustrations, like lost keys or spilled food, they can demonstrate appropriate responses by talking through their feelings and problem-solving strategies. Simple commands like "sit down," "be quiet," or "don't do that" are the least effective method for brain building because they require minimal language response from children. The TMW alternative is because thinking. Explaining the rationale behind requests helps children understand cause and effect and develops critical thinking skills. The fourth T could be turn it off, referring to digital devices that prevent the three T's from occurring. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends no screen time for children under 2 and limited time for older children. Research by Dr. Patricia Kuhl and Georgetown University confirms that children learn language and novel tasks significantly better from live human interaction than from screens. Digital devices fail the three T's test. They cannot tune in to a child's interests, talk more in responsive conversation, or genuinely take turns. Despite technology's prevalence in modern life, children's brains still learn best through social interaction with real people. While eliminating technology from modern life is impossible, parents need to honestly assess their technology diet by determining digital intake, what devices they use, for how long, and why. Then see how these devices interfere with parent-child relationships, and finally program their intake by consciously monitoring when, how, and how much technology is used. Alexander Graham Bell's telephone invention, once revolutionary, reminds us that today's modern technology will soon become outdated. Ironically, Bell himself refused to have a telephone in his office because he felt it would disturb his scientific work, a reminder that we must be thoughtful about how technology impacts our attention. Lisa Guernsey and Michael Levine's book, Tap, Click, Read, explores how technology might enhance parent-child interaction and children's language development. While digital technology's presence is unavoidable, the human-to-human interaction that establishes literacy in young children has broader implications beyond just reading skills. The language environment from birth to three affects who we are at our core, depending on how words are spoken, the environment, and the warm human receptiveness of parents, elements difficult to replicate digitally. The ultimate goal of closing the 30 million word gap is ensuring all children reach their potential, educationally, socially, personally, and productively. This isn't just about individual children, but about creating a world where most people are educated, productive, and capable of constructive problem solving. Income inequality in America has dramatically increased over the past 40 years, affecting children profoundly. Nearly half of all American children, over 32 million, live in low-income homes. While billions of public dollars are allocated for preschool programs, these efforts are diminished because they don't address what happens in the critical years between birth and three, when the foundation for learning is established. The language environment problem isn't simply socioeconomic, it's home and parent-specific across all income levels. Almost all parents have the vocabulary necessary to start their children on the right path. They simply need to understand the importance of the language environment and have accessible support when needed. Annette LaRoe's landmark book, Unequal Childhoods, contrasts parenting styles across social classes. Middle-class parents practiced concerted cultivation, fostering their children's talents, opinions, and skills with frenetic energy, driving them to numerous activities and engaging in extensive conversation that developed verbal agility, larger vocabularies, comfort with authority figures, and familiarity with abstract concepts. In contrast, lower socioeconomic homes practiced natural growth parenting with less structure, emphasizing obedience and respect for authority. These parenting styles parallel Carol Dweck's growth and fixed mindsets. Both concerted cultivation and growth mindset imply belief in intellectual malleability and employ deliberate efforts to enhance a child's persistence and skill mastery. Natural growth parenting, like fixed mindset, suggests belief in unchangeable innate abilities, leading to less concerted parenting except in emphasizing parental authority. Real change requires a conscious, universal effort to understand both the science of early brain development and its consequences for children, adults, and the nation. This doesn't mean discarding programs for older children, but expanding them to include the first day of life. If we want the greatest benefit from K-12 investment, children must enter kindergarten ready to learn at their optimum level. A country that invests wisely in its children develops stability, productivity, and intelligent problem-solving capabilities. All nations face problems, but their success depends on how they solve them. When many children cannot reach their highest potential, the country itself cannot achieve its greatest potential. The achievement gap is visible in K-12 statistics, but its roots in early childhood remain largely invisible. Birth through 3 years is a critical yet overlooked period, with gaps already present at 9 months, but only detectable through statistical analysis. Action typically happens only after problems become apparent. For language and parent talk to be universally understood as essential nutrition for developing brains, they must become integral to public thought and early childcare culture, creating a surround sound message for all parents. Talk with your baby. Talk nicely with your baby. Elicit from your baby. Importantly, this doesn't mean changing cultural linguistics or speech patterns, but rather enriching parent-child interactions using language natural to families across our diverse population. If early language environment is critical for brain growth, it should be considered a barometer for national health and monitored like vaccination rates. Nearly 12 million children under 5 are in center-based childcare, making these settings appropriate for monitoring language environments. The healthcare system, serving nearly all children, is a logical platform for teaching parents about early language environment importance. However, the ideal doesn't always fit reality. Pediatricians understand the importance of guiding parents in cognitive development, but face time constraints in our fee-for-service medical world. The first official White House meeting to bridge the word gap was held in October 2014, organized with Too Small to Fail and the Urban Institute. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services funded a Bridging the Word Gap Research Network grant to the University of Kansas Jupiter Gardens project, where Professor Dale Walker and colleagues continue this pivotal research. TMW aims to create universal appreciation for improving children's early language environments and national momentum for supporting effective programs. Their research develops evidence-based curricula for integration into existing settings, like newborn nurseries, pediatricians' offices, home visits, childcare programs, and community organizations. Nobel Prize-winning economist James Heckman's research demonstrates that investing in early childhood yields returns of $7 to $8 for every dollar invested. We are a nation of incredible resources facing a serious problem with both humane and pragmatic implications. Too many children face unreachable potentials. We know the problem and solutions. Almost all parents can provide the necessary language environment to build their children's brains to optimum potential, and no child should be without it. If all parents understood that words spoken to young children are building blocks for their brains, nurturing stable, empathetic, intelligent adults, what a different world this would be. Support for children, parents, and communities, including stable housing, employment opportunities, adequate healthcare, and well-designed early childhood programs, are essential components. For our children, our country, and our world, we must make it happen. Together.